Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we get situated a little bit here. That's on House Farm, I'm one of the elders here, and John asked me if I'd preach again. Seems this is my week for about 3 years now. I've been taking this week and preaching while he's away on vacation. So it's a little bit by design, but it's more than just the church calendar, it's the Holy Spirit. I think has something to say to each and every one of us here this morning. And that's what our mission here is at Arbor Heights. Be every day on mission of Jesus. He's actually come into our lives and into this world to heal, transform, and he invites us to join him. So I have this opportunity to share what he's been depositing in me with all of you. And it'll be a good time. I brought some props, and it's been coming a little bit. Whether it's John or Brian or Ryan or Linnea, or it's each one of you, we all have something that God has been depositing in our lives. And we get to share those with each other. The Bible refers to that as iron sharpening iron. And that's what we get to do here. You might remember John, who's been sharing about Psalms. And he had a series that he's been working on called Beneath Still Waters. I'm not going to be picking up that series, but he very conveniently was on the fourth verse, remember, the valleys, and he made reference to James. And so that's actually where I was going to share with today was the book of James. And so it was a jumping off point. And I don't know if you remember what he shared. He shared from those valleys, we have opportunities to grow. And that's true. And I'm not refuting that. But I think there's more to share. And certainly from my life, what's been going on, God's been depositing some things that I think will bring a little more to light. One of those that I just learned as I was praying about it, my son Nolan and I were actually going to do this Bible study on the book of James 7 years ago, and we never got to finish it. And I believe that is because God wanted it to be shared with all of you, not just with him, but he's here this morning as well to hear. And God has something very special to say. It has a purpose, and to that, I'm going to get some props. And before we get into this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for who you are. I thank you and praise you that you brought us here today, that you are moving in our midst, and that you have a purpose for what we're going through. You have a purpose for each moment of our lives. We ask for hearts that are ready to receive you. We ask for minds and bodies that are willing to obey and follow you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit moves and speaks. May we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I shared earlier how a theme of mine that I've often been sharing is how iron sharpens iron, and it's no different today. I say this because it's very obvious to me when I stand up in front of you, you know, there's John, and there's all these different voices. John's a professional. When Brian shares, Brian is very analytical. Linnea shares, she's very intellectual. Ryan shares, he's so gregarious. There's all these different voices, and each one is a little different. And my bent always seems to be to spiritualize. And that can be a little scary. Not everything is spiritualized. That can be overdone. And that's why we want to anchor it in Scripture. And so let's go and dive right into Scripture first before I start preaching my own and we're not learning from our Creator. So if you open your Bibles with me to James, we're going to look into James, starting in chapter 1. And I learned something just this morning. I usually have the Bible with me, and I always encourage you to go straight to the Bible. We need to be reading scripture. And I didn't bring my Bible, so I said, I'll use my phone. And I pulled up my phone and I said, go to James. And said, we're going to start with James 1:2. I'm like, no. I want to start with James 1:1. And so I went to a different app. I said, let's read James. And said, James chapter 1, verse 2. And I was like, wait a minute. We're going to start in James 1:1. I actually listened to someone speak the other day, and they're like, it's a greeting, and then jump into James chapter 2. But we're going to start with James chapter 1, so that's behind me as well. Let's read together. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greeting. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed in the wind. This is the reading of James. Now, today I wanted to share this book and what's going on here, but I wanted to put it in context, a little bit of arch, give some background, some history. And then I wanted to jump into the live truths that are shared, and then some application. So let's start with that context and that history. Now, James was the brother of Jesus. James saw Jesus grow. He saw Jesus' ministry. The Bible refers to him a couple times when he actually challenges Jesus, and he's like, what are you doing? This isn't the Jewish way. But yet, through seeing Jesus, he then became a leader of the church after Jesus' death. He was known as someone who had many wise things to say. And so the church respected him. He became the first Jewish bishop. And he wrote down a lot of these in the book of James. And it starts with James. James is a bondservant. And that's important, because a bondservant is someone who is free, but they've chosen a life of servitude, which is very important and relevant to us. James was saying, yes, I am free. Yes, I can choose any of these things, but I choose to be a servant of my risen Savior. Taking on the power of the name of Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. And he then said, Jesus the Christ, because Jesus was not just a name that was given, but Jesus also represented the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come and to fulfill the prophets, right? The plan of God from the beginning, that Christ the Messiah would come and deliver the people from their sins.
What are you doing?
Trying to cut out.
And then he was given to all 12 tribes. Now, it was the Jewish book, so they're saying it's for the 12 tribes, to everyone. And we know we as Christians are grafted into that lineage as well. It is for the whole world that this book is being written. And then it was written to those who were scattered. And that's important too, because in this time, the Jewish leaders, the people, the leaders were persecuting Christians. They were saying, this is different, this isn't right, this isn't our tradition. And so there was loss of job, there was loss of livelihood, there was imprisonment, there was death. And so people were fleeing, they were being sent out. So everyone was being dispersed. And that is important too, because there was a spiritual understanding of everything that's going on. And that is the context that James comes and he shares this wisdom. And he's saying in verse 2, if any of you, saying in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. He's saying in modern day language, joy is keeping your eye on the prize, that there is joy in what's going on. And he calls up a reference, and that reference is from 4G. Now, I don't know if you are are as familiar with Origin as me. I got a great example of it just this last week, as our team was called to do some team building, and I said, what would you like to do? And everyone voted, and I didn't vote, but I got outvoted. And they said, we would like to go to a forge, and we would like to learn how to forge something. Okay? So we go and we show up. And so, and here's a picture of kind of forging going on. And the first thing you see when you walk into the room is you see that anvil sitting there. And they've got hundreds of anvils. They right down here in West Seattle, underneath the West Seattle Bridge, there's a place called, I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, they give classes on forging. And so it had up to 100 different people, he said, at one point. There were just like 20 of us, but all these anvils are setting up, and then behind the anvils are a fire, a blast furnace, and all you need is something hot enough to get up to about 5,000 degrees. We had protective gear because I even grabbed something at one point, and he's like, stop! You're going to burn yourself! That's 5,000 degrees! And I was like, okay, so they take you into this spot. We've got the furnace, we've got the kiln. You've got the teacher, he's the master there, and then you think of it, you know, somebody doing this forging stuff, and it's like this big, burly guy, and no, he was actually a little slight kind of guy, and they have that hammer then, and the hammer this is actually too big for the hammer. It's about this size, it's a little smaller, a little 2-pound hammer, and the important thing is that it's rounded on one end, as he taught us. And so then he said, we're going to take something like this. We're going to take this piece of metal, and we're going to go, and we're going to put it into the kiln, and we're going to heat it up until it's, you know, hot, like you see there. And you bring it back over, and you set it on the anvil, and there's a way to set it on the anvil, and you hit it with this little hammer, and you hit it. You have about 15 seconds, and then it starts cooling too much. And so you go back, it's the whole process. So you're back in the kiln, and you put it in the kiln, and you sit and talk with your coworkers, and you're like, what are you going to do? And you pull it out and go back to the kiln, or you go back to the anvil, and you hit it back and forth and back and forth. There's a picture. We didn't use that edge there, but as you get experienced in this process, you use more and more techniques to make something of usefulness. And so this is what we made right here. I don't know if any of you can see that. It is a bottle opener. And so we took this and we shaped it and then pounded it out. And through that little hammer, you're able to turn the piece around here. And we're able to turn it right here. And so now when you come up to a bottle, it pops open and it works. It has purpose. And all of that was seen by our master teacher, right? He had a vision of what he wanted to make. He said, okay, if you follow this process from heat to anvil to tapping to heat to handle to tapping, you'll come out with something in the end that is of use. And that's what James is talking about in our Christian faith. He's saying these furnaces, these trials, these tests, this process is to provide not just growth, but something of use for the master. The testing of your faith produces endurance and giving purpose. Another example of this would be where the master is providing some vision of the future. That was what Jesus was talking about with the gardener. Or how many of you have heard of the idea of kintsugi? Kintsugi is Japanese, and it's a form of art and pottery where something is broken and then it's put back together with metal. And I have a picture of it here to show that, the kintsugi. And it's where something is remade after being broken with precious metals or metal of some kind. And that the piece in the end is actually more useful and more desirable than what it was before. And it all is unified on this idea about the master's touch. And that's kind of the way we are. And that's where James is saying, the master, our creator, as he works through the valley or the furnace or the trial, he is giving us opportunity and he's giving us a vision into the purpose of what he's going to be using us for. And that's a life of truth. If we look for what the Master is doing, not just our circumstances, that the Master is often, always calling and doing something in the background. We just have to be open to it. I'll give another example coming out of the valley. I don't know if any of you have had the chance to meet Brianne's son, Calvin. I don't see him here today, but I was so impressed that I got to meet him after meeting Brianne. She said, my son is doing this Bible quiz, and Calvin was doing awesome at the Bible quiz. They memorized 100 verses, or he memorized 100 verses, and he was in a group of four, and they were doing it's a tournament. And so they went from regionals, and they won regionals, and so they went to nationals, and they're doing great there. They won some type of prize. I'm not sure what it is on the top, but they won a prize. And so I was connecting with Calvin on this, and he's like, yeah, we had to learn over 500 facts, but it's over 100 verses as well. And there would be, you know, a question come out from the quizzer, and then whoever buzzed in first, you know, it's one of those type of Jeopardy type questions. And so he was able to recall and win at all of these things. And that reminded me, and we connected a little bit, because I did Bible quiz back when I was in school too. And my Bible quiz, the chapters of the books we were studying were James and 1st and 2nd Peter. And so I memorized only 50 on my team. I think our team was a little bigger. But and I also didn't win any national award or anything. But because of that deposit of reminding us what James was saying, what was being carried out, I can still recall today that when I encounter a trial, to count it as pure joy. And when I'm lacking wisdom, to go to the one who provides wisdom. See, God was already working back in middle school, right? That's why we taught Awana here for a long time. That teaching of was built on not just fun, but teaching God's word and getting God's word into your life and the lives of young children. I know Linnea shared that her grandmother had her memorizing scripture before school, and maybe some of you are doing that with your kids as well. But those little deposits, those learnings of God's word, it doesn't have to be with a youth, it can be at any age. But as we deposit God's word, and we memorize and meditate on God's word, it comes up over and over and over again that he is using that, like the metal in the forge, to be brought to the surface. And when that's brought to the surface, and we get put into different situations, it's no longer us who's struggling, but it's Christ being reflected through us, right? We reflect God's word when that quiz question comes up. And God's word made in all of our lives. Remember when I talked earlier about Psalms? Psalms was God's word from A to Z, right? And that's what it is here too. God's word in all these circumstances of life. When the question comes up, we say, ah, I have the answer. And it comes. Let's go back and look at James 2 again. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials many times, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature, may be mature and complete, lacking and complete, not lacking anything. Sorry, when I memorized it, it had to be a New King James. But I didn't want to do New King James. It's too different for all of us. But that's the story of memorizing Scripture. That's the value of memorizing Scripture. That memorizing Scripture is like the metal inside this metal rod. That is, it's then put in the furnace of life and comes back. And then the soft hammer, not the giant outrageous hammer or the one you think of, but the soft hammer in the Master's hand, it comes forth. And it reflects the Master. A couple of examples of modern day life as well. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Stephen Colbert. I follow comedians a lot. And I like Stephen Colbert because, particularly, Stephen Colbert is a Christian. And he will often share, not in a preaching way, but when people ask him real questions, he has real answers. Like when people talk about suffering, they say, I hear your father died, his father died when he was a very young boy, and his brothers, and he has a spiritual Christ-centered answer back to that. This last week it came up because his show was canceled, and people said, do you hate what's going on? And he said, or do you hate people who are doing this to you? And he said, no, I don't hate this music. He said, I don't trust people. But it was very real, and he's very open to say, to talk about his faith in that. And I don't want to put him on a pedestal. This isn't about him. This is also about what the Master is doing. I had a similar example, and maybe a better example. My high school teacher, my high school youth leader, was an ex-NFL football player. And it was interesting as he shared the transition in his life from the NFL into ministry. He was playing football, and one day he got his knee blown out. And so he was laying in the bed in the back, and everyone on the team knew he was a Christian. But as the non-Christians came back to say, oh man, this is sad. This is awful. I feel bad for you. He had a chance to say, no, I'm a Christian, and I'm excited on what God is going to do with me next. And it's true, God took him from there and did something else. That transformed me. After 20 years of doing a career in science, being called into HR and then saying, your project's over, we need you to step away, being able to say, I'm okay with that. Actually, I'm excited because I'm a Christian, and I know that God has something else planned for me, and I'm ready to step into that. That's what happens when we let ourselves be iron sharpening iron. And we can see that up here, even in Harder Heights, when we see Deb saying, I'm not really a worship leader, and yet she'll step up here and she'll say, but I'm going to worship for you, and I'm going to lead you in worship. And that's led to new people stepping in, whether it's Lily for the first time, or Jeremy for the first time, or over and over again. We call that bubbling over, and that comes right from Scripture. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8, and I have that written here. Can you pull that up? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others as more important to yourselves. Where you see a need, and that need is stepping in and saying, Jesus, I need you to show up. We hear that from Deb over and over again, and God does step up. We have that same mindset of Jesus, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, made in human likeness. See, that's reflecting Jesus. That's what Jesus did. And that's what then we are called to do.
Sure.
If we allow the deposits, if we allow Scripture to be shown in our lives and not responding out of ourselves. Because John did talk a little bit, and I can talk too, that the furnace and the kiln isn't the goal. Right? There are other responses. You don't have to respond to be remade into a kintsugi or remade into a tool. Oftentimes, we step back. Oftentimes, I try to escape into my own comfort. I try to go back to my habits or my comfortable behaviors. I have an example this last week. It has to do with chores. And my wife, she said, you know, the bathroom's looking pretty dingy. So I have a clean bathroom. So I go in there and she said, no, not that. I need, and I see that the grout in the shower is disgusting. I'm like, oh, well, that's going to take and I had all these reasons not to do that. I have a comfortable set of chores that I'm willing to do. Yeah, I'll clean the toilet. Yeah, I'll vacuum. Yeah, I will, there's the list. You have your own list as well. And we'll go comfort into that list. But something outside of that list, and we grow up, no, that's not what I'm in for. serving my wife. And then she came back a few hours later and she's like, this looks wonderful now. I didn't have to retile the bathroom, but I did have to step out of my comfort zone and do something that was a little different. That's the type of thing that comes to the surface if we're willing to say no to ourselves and say no to our comforts and say no to our understood roles. Because God is calling us out, and it might seem a bit uncomfortable, but it also is where he works best. We don't have to be stuck in the trial. He can call us out of the trial into something new. And that's through what he's leading us into. Otherwise, we try to do it in our own selves. And as James said, we become like one tossed in the wind. We become unhinged. We become unable to support ourselves. But God has been producing in us something bigger and better when we take on the attitude of Christ. When we go to his word and we study and we find out what he has for us. Because he is calling. His spirit is living in us. And his word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying, look at me. I confessed about the bathroom. There's other things that I have yet to do. There's other callings to coworkers that I haven't quite said yet. I'm afraid of. But yet, God is calling. And maybe it's the person that he's put on your heart. Maybe it's the task he's put on your heart. But he's put it on your heart. And are you willing to step out in faith and to do those? Are you putting the needs of others in front of yourself? Or are you still focused on what you are doing and what your habits and routines are? For me, being called out of my routine is tough. I'm a very... And I can get kind of creative, and it might seem creative to you or to me, but God is not calling us to be creative. He's not calling us to rely on ourselves. He's calling us to be vine connected. He's calling us to do something different and new. And when we do that, to share with one another, like Deb, like Jeremy, like Brian, like Linnea, like many of you are doing, and we share with one another. That is what iron sharpens iron means. We connect with one another, and we share what Jesus is doing. And then there's an encouragement to be bubbling over and to let Christ shine over and over again. That comes from 1 Timothy 4, 10 through 16. You can read that here as well. We have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. And so we teach that to one. We don't let anyone look down on us because we are young, but we set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love, in faith and in humility and purity. Until he comes back, we devote ourselves to public reading of Scripture, to the preaching, and to teaching. And we're called to be diligent in these matters. That's why I share with you. That's why John has all the different voices sharing with you. He wants to encourage you to share with one another as well. This isn't just from here to there, but it's from there to each other, to our world. God's calling us, and he wants to use us, but we have to be willing. Are you willing to go into the fire? Are you willing to be forged by him? Or are you running? Escaping to your own comfort. James goes on and has other sayings. This is only the first of many. James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who has his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You see, we are God's masterpiece. A royal priesthood, the Bible calls us. God's conceived in living flesh. You don't have to like what he does. You don't have to be happy about what he does. But he calls us to be joyful. Because we're joyful in what he's doing. And as we reflect him, he uses that to change not just us, but to change the world around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for who you are. Thank you for using us, broken vessels, pieces of metal, flesh and bone. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit, not just now, but each day, that as we go into this world, we can reflect you and what you have for those around us.